Exciting things are happening at the library. Libraries in 16 counties are teaming up to offer more services, books, and information than ever before. And you can be a part of it. Just stop by your local library for a brand new card and ask about the new Mountain Library Network. Many libraries, one card does it all.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Earlier highs in the upper 70s will be eclipsed with a mainly clear 55 by early in the morning. Tuesday afternoon, a 1 in 2 risk of thunderstorms as an upper-level disturbance moves in, along with a cold front. High near 70 before the rain arrives. 56 tomorrow night, and look for a fair Wednesday. Just a few high, thin clouds with highs back near 75.
The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR, Beckley.
Tonight's Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, we're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock on this beautiful, 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 beautiful Monday evening. And perchance, perhaps, maybe the last we're going to have for a few days. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Monday night. Glad to be back with you. Missed you over the weekend. Just caught the weather forecast there before the show started. A 1 in 2 risk of thunderstorms tomorrow. What, are we making book on the weather now? 1 in 2? What is that, a 33% chance of thunderstorms? I don't know. At any rate, I am glad to be back with you. Lots of things cooking over the weekend, not the least of which Dear Leader is globetrotting again on our nickel. According to the news story I saw over the weekend, Bush opened a fast-paced four-country journey to mark the 60th anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany. He will meet on Saturday with the leaders of Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. That was a Friday night story.
Did you hear that? Yeah, I went to Estonia. Damn sure wasn't the first time. I was in Estonia the whole time I was in the National Guard of defending Texas from flying Vietnamese in black pajamas. Estonia. I thought old Carl's kidding when he told me I was going to Estonia. I thought the capital was Bong City. Estonia. And then they told me Estonia's real, part of them balsamic states. Yeah, don't know why they wanted me to go there. Cheapest real estate on the whole blessed monopoly board. It's the only one Jeb had ever let me buy. Of course, I couldn't get a monopoly. Couldn't even stay out of jail. Got me a permanent get-out-of-jail-free card now, though. Yeah, see what happens if I land on Jeb's boardwalk this time. Yeah, I'll declare corporate bankruptcy. It'd be just like Spectrum 7 Energy.
Oh, really? Pretty sick little trip, isn't it? Watching George Bush sit there in Red Square, noting the end of the European theater of conflict in World War II, knowing full well that his grandfather was up to his neck in, Union Banking and Trust Corporation, and Fritz Thyssen, the guy that they called Hitler's angel. Yeah, that Bush. Yep, helping finance the Nazis. Classy, classy bunch, that Bush crowd. But beyond that, I mean, that was just a little kind of a yuck-yuck and a ha-ha. I mean, come on. Can you imagine that George Bush actually knew that there was a place called Estonia?
Kind of next door to Margaritaville, the way I see it.
But there was a little piece of news over the weekend that might have escaped your attention. It didn't escape mine. You remember the We Are Family Foundation, right? They're the ones that produced that educational video with SpongeBob and Patrick and Jimmy Neutron and the whole It was sort of a We Are the World of animated characters. And it encouraged little children not to beat the snot out of each other. Which, for my part, I'm on board with that. But after concerted harassment, James Dobson, you remember James Dobson? That filthy, money-grubbing religion industrialist who believes, you know, this is what he says in his book. The name of the book is Dare to Discipline. And in that book, he tells parents to beat their children, quote, until they cry real tears. Let's see. You crying real tears yet, Johnny? I see some tears, but they're not real enough. Hit him again! No, he believes in beating children until they cry real tears, and then and little old ladies who send him their Social Security checks every month, with pressure from them, the We Are Family Foundation has removed any reference to tolerance for gay people from their activities or their informational kits. Now, never mind that, and see, I'm going to get all liberal on you here, because I don't have the same dirty mind that a Republican has. Because I don't think little children generally understand sexuality. Never mind. After all, this is West Virginia. Check out the number of heterosexual incest indictments in any given year statewide. But, of course, thanks to, you know, the West Virginia Family Foundation and the likes of those types, we can't be telling little ones not to hate people because of how they happen to be now, can we? That might offend the religion industry where their parents take them every Sunday. And, of course, we can't offend the religion industry. We might get excommunicated. You see, this is the really fun part. Little children, you know, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, they might not understand overt sexuality, but they sure enough do understand the hateful language that they learn in their homes and at their religion industry centers. And they learn early on what makes people cry. And when you know what makes other little children cry, you have a strong, strong weapon. And you see, children are brutal to each other. Brutal. It's the only word. And they will move in sometimes on anyone who shows sensitivity like a pride of lions surrounding a limping gazelle. But you can only assume from that monster, you know, that demon, that Todd person, Dobson's position, that he also believes sexually innocent children should be taunted, quote, until they cry real tears. Now, see, I'm a family values guy. My darling wife, she's a family values woman. None of our three youngest kids are ready for the great, big, spooky, highly uncomfortable sex talk. Not yet. My wife and I have made that decision. It's part of our family values. It's part of our family business. But you see, nonetheless, we've had to hold our daughters in our arms and soothe them when they came home from school to quote Reverend Dobson, crying real tears, and asking, what's a lesbian daddy? What's a lesbian mommy? And why are they calling me one? Well, as it turns out, the they that are calling my darling daughters that word are the children of one of our best religion industry families. As for why their children are using those words as hate speech, we can only assume their parents and their religion industry approve of that conduct. If they didn't, they would have beaten their children until they cried real tears. Because, after all, they're focused on the family religion industrialists. And if they didn't, Well, what can you say? But if they had beaten their children until they cried real tears, can you assume that it wouldn't have happened again? And as we all know from Reverend Dobson, good parents beat their children until they cry real tears if they do wrong. QED, little children calling other little children lesbian is okay by the religion industrialists. Because see, and let me make this really, really plain to the single-syllable Republicans and the Dinos hanging on my every word. My babies, our babies, aren't lesbians. Not at 11 and 8, they're not. At 11 and 8, they're not lesbians, not Lutherans, not laborers. At 11 and 8, they're not hetero, homo, or hermaphrodite for little girls. Our precious little girls. That's all, you filthy Republicans that support things like the West Virginia Family Foundation or Federation or whatever they call themselves. Creeps who are so fixated on what other people do in their bedrooms and God only knows what you do in yours. So fixated that you can't see that bullying a kid using epithets, that means ugly names, you simple, hateful pigs, is the kind of thing the We Are Family Foundation was sort of trying to get at, you know? But your god of hate wouldn't like it if little non-sexual children weren't hating each other with sex names they don't even understand, would it? Your god of hate thinks it's just dandy when little kids attack other kids. And your god of hate wouldn't approve if a teacher pulled some home-rotted little kid aside and said, "Darling, little precious dear, lesbians aren't bad people. Calling someone a lesbian is mean if you mean it that way, but it only displays your own ignorance." Newsflash! Falwell Legal Fund sues school board. Good, godly, upstanding Christian child called ignorant. And the next day you'll get Flush Flimball out there. "My friends, the liberals are destroying America. Look at how teachers are persecuting good Christian parents. Little Susie got into a spat with a pal on a playground. She called her pal a lesbian. That's all. That's all she said, my friends. You're a lesbian." And for that, her liberal teacher called her down and told little Susie she's ignorant. That's right, my friends. Ignorant. See, my friends, liberals hate your children. They think your children are ignorant. Liberals think your children are ignorant because you're conservative. Have you ever noticed the resemblance between George Bush and Jesus? Mavis, Bob's a beating on the Baptists again. Why did I say Baptist? But since we're on the topic, when was the last time you heard the Southern Baptist Church publicly announce and apologize for little 11-year-old Baptists calling other little 11-year-olds lesbian? All right. That would be never. Brother Bob, you don't understand. If little children make other little children understand they'll be hated and beaten up all their lives if they offend God by being lesbians and making sure they cry every day, all the other little children will learn not to be lesbians. And we'll protect marriage for the next generation. Because marriage is under attack by the lesbians and all the other Democrats, too. I know Jesus told me. You ain't a Democrat, are you? You are. You are? Well, bless my soul, Brother Bob. You're excommunicated. Can somebody break a candle? Oh, whatever. Throw a Bic lighter on the ground. You're excommunicated, Bob Kincaid. You're an anagram. But you're still free to keep sending in them donations. I'm going to go to the hospital.
channel.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. On Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the United Way and the Women's Resource Center will be sponsoring Celebrity Night in Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas counties. Celebrities from the local communities will be waiting tables, and all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center. Make plans to join us for dinner at Applebee's, Black Knight Country Club, Foster's, or Pasquale's in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, visit Dirty Ernie's Rib Pit, Sedona Grill, Three Gables, or the Glenfarris Inn in Fayette County. Enjoy yourself in Nicholas County at Applebee's, Caledonia, or the Steve Box. Make a lasting impression on your community by participating in Celebrity Night on Thursday, May 19th. Celebrity Night is underwritten by WLAY-TV in Oak Hill and Quick Prince in Beckley.
Neighbors united for the common good. Honor, the faith, the dedication to a noble cause is right, just, and good. Country, a vow to support our nation's people during desperate times. Duty, honor, country, the Army National Guard. Call 1-800-GO-GUARD.
The Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the West Virginia National Guard, aired by the West Virginia Broadcasters Association and this station.
In Lancaster, a little league coach gets his team to the big game.
In Ventura, a volunteer firefighter orders herself out of bed at 4 a.m.
In Peoria, a CPA joins the PTA.
In Nashville, an aspiring songwriter joins the Naval Reserve.
People across America are giving back to their community and their country. The Naval Reserve is proud to include these individuals among our ranks. Together, we will build a better world. Call 1-800-USA-USNR or go to NavalReserve.com. Naval Reserve, stay strong.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I heard the spot that ran in the break there. The celebrity guest waiter, just so you'll know, I encourage you to come out for that wherever it is. But in particular, I'm going to be guest waiting tables at the Sedona Grill, my own particular favorite spot for a dandy meal. So come on out that evening and do a good thing through the United Way and have yourself a sit down to some mighty fine eats. Now, what I was talking about before the break, this business of and do you see the distinction? Now, if we have a program that encourages children not to call other children queer or faggot or you lesbo, you dyke, the religion industry jumps out and says that they're being religiously persecuted for that. So, again, QED, they would prefer for children to berate each other that way. Proof? Well, from the Washington Post, the school superintendent of Montgomery County, Maryland, has suspended what is being called a contentious sex education curriculum after a federal judge issued a temporary restraining order preventing for 10 days the county's implementation of the curriculum. And again, that curriculum was designed to help prevent sexually transmitted diseases, teen pregnancy, and homophobic bullying. Who made it contentious? Well, guess who? Yep, the cult of Jerry Falwell. And again, Tony Perkins from the Sunday Justice Sunday, the failed insurance hack from Louisiana, and of course, Beverly LaHaye. Now, these extremist freaks infiltrated one of the most liberal counties in the country, Montgomery County, Maryland. And they didn't like the new curriculum because it would have kept their precious lumpkins from beating up other people's children and calling them faggot and queer and lesbian. And these people profess to follow Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter who never said, well, I won't extend God's love to you if you're queer. Never mind that everybody pretty much wore the same clothing back then. You know, guys in dresses, women in dresses, whatever. Everybody in dresses. Is this as much a disconnect for you as it is for me? I mean, do you understand that 10-year-olds aren't gay? Do you understand that calling a 10-year-old faggot or lesbian is just a pure manifestation of simple, childish, ignorant hate. They know they'll get in trouble if they use the N-word. I don't know other racial epithets in the state. I don't know. But as long as we've got these right-wing weirdos, these creeps like Falwell and Dobson and this Tony Perkins, Norman! See, Tony Perkins played Norman Bates in Psycho. As long as we've got them wandering around out there, we're going to have children being tormented, not because of their sexuality, but simply because it's a hateful word that they know that these little children who go to these good religion industry cult centers know they can use to hurt other children. And the grown-ups are running around interfering in public schools saying, "No, I want my precious little Susie to be able to call that kid over there a faggot." Do you understand just how offensive that is? Do you understand it has not a doggone thing to do with gay or straight? It has to do with being brutal and hurtful. Now, the normal parents, what are we supposed to do about these religion industry cultist children when they call our precious babies these, and again, it just betrays how butt stupid these right-wing religion industrialists are. Because you know what? There's nothing wrong with being gay. It's how God made them. Period. It's like there's nothing wrong with being white or black or Native American or Latino or Asian. It is an accident of birth. Not even an accident. An accident implies that there's something wrong. It is a happenstance of birth. And yet the money pours in every month to the coffers of this God-forsaken hellhound Falwell so that he can pay lawyers around the country to make sure their little cult children can call other children faggot and make those children cry. And I want to know. Maybe it would be nice to hear from some of the wingnuts that hang on my every word. If your religion industry child calls my normal child a hate-filled word like that, is it okay if my darling balls up her fist and mashes your darling's nose all over his or her face? I would refer you to what is called the fighting word statute that is still in the books in the state of West Virginia. Is it okay? Or does my child just have to sit there and take it from your hate-filled freak that you make sure is in church every Sunday to learn to torment decent, normal little children? Oh, yes, of course, that's the way it is, because only my side has to be personally responsible.
Right.
Right. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The State Attorney General's Office is trying to enforce subpoenas issued to Capital One Bank in Virginia that markets and issues credit cards to West Virginia consumers. More than 200 complaints have been filed against Capital One Bank and Capital One Services. The Attorney General's Office is now filing suit in Lincoln County, attempting to enforce the subpoenas for information. Some consumers say they received pre-approved credits from Capital One offering credit limits of up to $5,000, but those cards came with limits of $200 or $300. Other consumers say the low-limit cards have high fees, including a $59 annual membership fee, a $29 late fee, and a $29 over-the-limit fee. Customers who then tried to cancel the cards were told they couldn't do it with an outstanding balance. Late fees, over-limit fees, and interest continued to accumulate for customers who tried to close their accounts but could not. The West Virginia Tourism Commission will be holding a special meeting Thursday at the Canyon Rim Visitor Center in Lansing. The theme will be the future of the tourism industry in southern West Virginia and how it can continue to be a prime place for adventure destination vacations. Eric Poise with the West Virginia Professional River Outfitters says the industry needs to evolve continually to remain as important as it has been for the last 30 years. Family court judges in Boone, Jackson, and Lincoln counties force people to wait months for hearings that other judges get done in weeks. That's according to a survey by the state Supreme Court. The judges in those counties said people must wait up to 7 months for a hearing. That's about twice as long as the statewide average. Judges in those counties blamed the delays on huge caseloads and people who asked the court to tinker with child support or alimony payments just a few times a year. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy and warm. Temperatures now around 70. Tonight, clear with a low 52. Showers and thunderstorms, very typically summertime tomorrow, high 75. Those showers and thunderstorms in by the afternoon. And then showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night with a low near 54. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Ban the outsourcing of government contracts to foreign countries. The law says that only American citizens authorized to work in the United States can work under a New Jersey state contract. The bill was signed into law by Governor Richard Cody, who called it an important step to protect workers and keep jobs from going overseas. The New Jersey Chamber of Commerce has criticized the new law, suggesting it may discourage multinational corporations from operating in the Garden State. Maryland, Oklahoma, Montana, and Washington are all considering or are in the process of passing similar bills.
Nine nurses were recently suspended for calling attention to nursing shortages at their hospitals. The nurses are employed at two hospitals in West Virginia and Kentucky, both owned by Appalachian Regional Healthcare. ARH suspended the nurses for 1 day without pay after they attended a rally in Beckley, West Virginia, addressing the staffing issues.
We found this to be incredible that they would take action over their employees, their nurses, bringing information to the community about safe patient care.
Bill Riggs is the labor director for the Kentucky Nurses Association. He says not only do nurses deserve better treatment, the whole healthcare system should be examined.
If you have loved ones in a healthcare facility, you should really start questioning about the kind of care they're giving, the kind of duress the nurses are under, the kind of safe patient staffing ratios that are going on. And I think if the consumers start asking these questions, then maybe, just maybe, we can improve this system.
Unite Here moved closer to achieving nationwide hotel bargaining strength on Friday as the Beverly Hilton in Los Angeles agreed to a key concession. The hotel union strategy is to have hotel contracts in major cities across the country expire simultaneously next year, thereby giving workers the ability to call a nationwide strike. 8 hotels in L.A. are facing pressure from a boycott, and the Hilton is seen as the first to buckle. The union says it may be a sign that negotiations have reached a tipping point. Hotels in New York City, Boston, and Chicago have already agreed on the 2006 contract expiration date. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Companies are ramping up their training programs to battle a looming skills shortage in the year 2020. 80% of manufacturers had a moderate to serious skilled worker shortage in 2003. As baby boomers retire, more than 10 million skilled workers will be needed by 2020. Manufacturing apprenticeships still have a long way to go in the U.S. Nationwide, there are only about 18,000 manufacturing apprenticeships, up only nearly 100 since 2003.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
WWNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Hey, we're nationwide now. Now all kinds of people know what happened to the nurses here in Beckley and the other facility. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Welcome to the second half hour of the first hour. God only knows what that fraction would be of the whole show, but welcome by all means. About 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. And your phone calls, of course, are welcome at 252-6200. Outside Beckley at 800-620-9967. One more little blurb about this business from Filthy Falwell. They went into court saying that not allowing children to beat the snot out of children they want to use sexual epithets toward is, hostile to their Christian values. That's right. Not beating up little children is hostile to their Christian values. Do you wonder now why I refuse to call these monsters Christians? And, of course, there's a notation, the writer here says, look, it's no more abnormal than it is to be left-handed. And it's interesting that the writer would use that particular choice because, of course, for a number of centuries, the church actively persecuted and killed people who were left-handed for being left-handed. And of course, the Latin word for left, sinister, sinister. Left-handedness was equated with being evil. So, I guess Falwell is just acting true to type he's acting in the grand tradition of people like Torquemada and the Inquisition. Let's go to Jose. He's been waiting. Hey, Jose, you're head on.
Bob.
Yes, sir.
How you coping over there?
I tell you what, we're hanging on day by day, Jose.
Well, that's all we can do.
Isn't that the truth?
Can I hang?
Pardon?
Can I hang? Huh?
You go right ahead.
Well, Latter-day Saints. Did you ever read anything about them?
I've read some, yes.
Did you ever read Spaulding's book? It's in the Library of Congress.
No, I didn't.
Well, they say it's a fusion between it and Indian folklore that got the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, that would make some sense. I've read pretty extensively in the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, and they beat Bad Era, Joseph Smith. He said Jesus was born in Jerusalem, and they sang "O Little Town of Bethlehem."
Mm-hmm.
And speaking about children, they are deprived of Coke, because it's got caffeine.
Yeah, stimulants. I think the Book of Mormon refers to stimulants.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I used to watch them sneak to the machines and get popped and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to tell the older ones, I says, well, y'all take Dristan, and it's got caffeine in it, main ingredient. And, if you're going to abstain from it altogether, it looks like you'd do it from all of it.
Sauce for the goose is sauce for the gander, isn't it?
Yes. And, I thought maybe Jim, when he was in Washington, he might have got to go to the Library in Congress. Does he know anything about Spaulding's book?
I'm not at all sure. I'll bet you he's listening right now and might be able to address that.
Well, if he can. Well, it's mostly about Indian folklore, and a fusion. You know what a fusion is?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to close off here and keep hammering.
I'm going to try, Jose.
Y'all be blessed.
And you as well, sir, and many of them. Take care. And let's see. Jim, you're head on.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
My name's Jim.
Yes, sir.
What's the one you're talking about?
No, you're, I've got it written down here. Jim, parentheses, other.
Other, you're right. I heard something you say a little bit ago about spankings.
Mm-hmm.
Are you for them or against them?
I don't believe in hitting children.
Well, now, when I say this is the way I was brought up, and I don't have any. If I've done something wrong, I got punished for it.
Uh-huh.
And if it was a whipping, then that's what I got. But I got it in the place of education, which was below the belt buckle and well above the knees, if you know what I'm talking about, that area of the butt.
Right on the hindquarters.
Right. And it did bring tears.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? I'm now 47 years old. I've lost my mom. My dad's in a nursing home. But I can't ever remember getting a spanking that I didn't deserve.
Well, I suppose.
And saying that, I raised my kids that way also.
Mm-hmm.
But my kids know that when I discipline them, I'm doing it out of love, not out of hate. I don't hit them out of anger or anything like that.
I just wonder if a child can differentiate that at the time. All they know is it hurts.
You know, I could tell the difference. Was it, growing up as a kid, I knew the difference. I say, yes, they know the difference. But not one time. I felt bad for it about a little while, but I knew that when my mom and dad gave me a whipping, it wasn't for something that they wanted, the point they wanted to get across other than what I'd done wrong.
Well, Jim, it could be that you were fortunate in that regard. The problem with institutionalized endorsement of corporal punishment is that while you had parents who might have been wise enough to know when to administer it, for every parent who is wise enough to know when to administer it, Jim, there are probably five who aren't.
Well, I agree. But what I'm getting at here, and I know child welfare and these state agencies like that, they don't want you to do anything. You might hurt their little feelings. As far as if you spank them like that, they don't want any of that.
Oh, I've seen little children cry sent into a corner like they were being beaten half to death because they were taken away from something they wanted to do.
Right. And I tell you what.
And so that would appear to be as effective as beating them.
Well, I think what it is I think it's the devil rising up in them is what it is.
See, I got to differ with you, Jim. I don't believe that the devil is in children.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that they're little humans, and I believe that they will test the limits of your authority and their abilities, but I don't think that we can ascribe that to some sort of demonic possession of little children.
Well, I tell you what, when a kid knows to do something right, and they do it despite you, and do it just to take and get your gander up, so to speak, your dander up.
Get your goat, sure.
Yeah, I think here's the difference between what the way I was raised and the way these other people are acting and the way it is. I think welfare, and I know that sometimes there is a time that the children are, when I say beaten, my mom and dad knew the difference between discipline and abuse. And they never crossed that line.
And you are lucky in that regard, Jim, because I can tell you, it will change your mind. It really will. When you see the autopsy photos of a 14-month-old little girl whose brains have been reduced to jello because her mommy just picked her up and shook her to death.
Well, no.
That'll change you.
Well, I know that. And you know, I'm the oldest of four kids. I've got a sister that's 19 months younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a brother that's 7 years younger than me and one that's 10 years younger than me. So, in other words, when I was 17, I had one that was 10 and 7.
Right.
And I can't ever remember that my mother or dad ever thanked them or whipped them at a time that they didn't understand what was going on. Now, when a child has an understanding of what they're doing, they understand that it's right or wrong. I'm not saying that's the age of accountability that the Bible talks about, but I'm saying that that's a time that they know what's the right and wrong of what they're doing.
Well, Jim, I guess we're just going to have to agree to disagree because I believe firmly that there is a very real way to get through to a child without hitting them, because we know from study after study after study after study that violence begets violence. And if you want to break that cycle somewhere, the violence has to end. But I appreciate your comments, and I thank you for calling in. I got to roll on. Take care, Jim. Mm-hmm. Bye now. And from one Jim to the other. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Good evening.
How are you, sir?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing reasonably well.
You know, I'd like to start off with a personal story of what I call self-imposed punishment on the playground.
Mm-hmm.
You know about kids, how kids can be mean to each other?
Oh, yeah.
I remember when I was in the fifth grade, for some reason, I took it upon myself to be wise enough to put a mirror on my shoe.
Okay.
All right. And there was this girl who was a lot taller than me, so I figured I would see what I could see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she had a plaid metal lunchbox in her hand. Bob, I can still feel that lunchbox pounding me into the playground.
Oh, God. I know what lunchbox you're talking about, Jim.
I mean, honest to God, she nearly killed me. I mean, it was like a pile driver piling into a bridge.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it did teach me something. And that's all I want to say about that. I mean, kids have a way of working certain problems out, and that was definitely one of them. She taught me a lesson.
Yeah, see, Jim, then that's when these weirdos come out and they talk about how we're normalizing some sexual preference or whatever, you know, I don't know. I've got it in my head that when one 10-year-old calls another 10-year-old faggot, they're not necessarily reflecting a particular lifestyle. They're just using the most hateful word that they've heard.
They don't even know what the word means.
Right, but they have heard their mommy and daddy use it.
Oh, and well, it's on TV and stuff like that. It's everywhere.
And they've heard it at their religion industry center, and they know that it's hurtful, and they've been taught at the religion industry center that it's about the nastiest thing that there is, and so they're going to use it to hurt somebody else.
Well, you know, you were talking about lesbians. And I was thinking of an episode of Golden Girls. Remember Dorothy, Blanche, and Rue, and,
oh, sure, yeah.
Anyway, well, Dorothy, played by Bea Arthur, had this friend, Gene, who was coming to see her. And, Gene's significant other, and Gene was a lesbian, had died. And she was coming to see the girls, and so, they decided they would keep it away from the other ones. Except for Sophia, she knew everything, Dorothy's mother.
Right.
But when it comes to the one played by Rue McClanahan, and they tried to explain to her the term lesbian, and there was Rue McClanahan and her very best saying, lesbian, lesbian, lesbian. Ain't Daddy Thomas boy?
How's the weather in Beirut? Yeah.
Huh?
How's the weather in Beirut? Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it was just, and then Rue McClanahan gets all upset because the woman is attracted to Rose and not her. Because she's always, you know, the most voluptuous one of
sure.
the whole, you know, set.
But, yeah, I think, Jim, we really have to examine. What
I'm not trying to make light of what
you're saying. No, I know you're not, But it illustrates it to a certain extent. When it's going on in the schoolyard, in the playground, in the classroom, whatever, I am confident in saying that 99.9% of the time it is used for hurtfulness and not as an accurate reflection of anyone's particular lifestyle, because I don't believe in the sexualization of little children.
Well, there are a lot of people who do. And unfortunately, you know.
Well, I think these right-wing religious groups believe that.
Well, yeah, they're terribly misguided and misinformed and miss everything else as far as I'm concerned.
Can I hear an evil?
Yeah, they are. In pursuit to Jose's thing, you know, as many Marriott hotels as I've stayed in, and as many books of Mormon that I've looked at, I've never seen Spalding's book, and tell him I'm very sorry, I never have.
Okay, I'm sure he's listening.
But anyway, going back to this gay thing and this lesbian thing or whatever, faggot, whatever, I mean, I would like to think that people are becoming a little more enlightened and less hateful than they used to be. Though they say they were in the 1950s.
Well, you and Anne Frank, but we know what happened to her.
Yeah, I know. I would like to think that.
Because
but, I mean, what I think is happening, Mr. Kincaid, is this. I think there was a time back in the 70s and 80s, maybe in the 70s, when things were becoming more tolerant. But then you had a lot of people using the AIDS epidemic and things like that and the other pandemics. Used by the religious right as a weapon against any type of critical thinking and open-mindedness. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I think that this has been one of the things that they've been using a great deal. I mean, I have seen too many signs of Fred Phelps in his parades.
Well, and not just that, Jim.
He is the epitome of all of it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, but there's a correlation, too, over the whole right-wing thing, if you will. The very basis of so-called conservative thought or fascist thought, or whatever phrase you want to use for it, is a mortal fear. Okay, you take away the right's ability to say that America's problems are because of them, the others. You know, and fill in the blank what the others are. It's the liberals. It's the commies. It's the Jews. It's the queers.
Yeah, they've got somebody to hate.
Their entire existence is predicated on that.
Well, yeah, and if they didn't have that hatred, if they didn't have that, you know, a body of people to attempt to destroy, their own reason for being would cease to exist.
They would dry up and blow away. So therefore, it becomes all the more important, Jim, to inculcate in little children that it's okay to call other little children those hateful names. I'm reminded of a documentary I saw about the the early days of the Reich. And a little Jewish child said, in the early days, we were all classmates together. We played, we ran, we had fun.
Oh, yeah.
But then in a few months, I began to hear comments like, "Teacher, will you move me to another part of the room? It smells like dirty Jew here."
Oh, absolutely.
And is there any difference between that and looking at a child and saying, "I don't want to play with you, you lazy"?
Oh, no. I mean, the Nazis, they had a whole panoply of hatred for everybody.
But it is gay,
yellow for Jews, green for this, and for criminals, and, you know, everything.
But it's institutionalized hatred.
Yeah, I know.
And they, you know, it's the exact opposite of that old Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young song, "Teach Your Children Well."
Right. Well, you know, Hitler said, and referring to the Hitler Youth, he said, "By the time that they're a certain age, they're mine." And he was right.
Yeah.
And a whole generation of Germans lived, and a majority of them died under that particular doctrine and what it calls, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, quantum leap here, and speaking, it's just something that just blew my mind this afternoon. And this is just something I just could not fathom. It was on the Dr. O'Brien show this afternoon. It was the issue of Janusz Karpinski, the general, the 08 major general.
Right.
Had been popped for shoplifting in the base exchange.
Wow.
And I think this was before she was sent to Iraq. So apparently she had a history of being detained by the military police on a base where she was for shoplifting, still keeping flag officer rank, and then being sent to Iraq to control sensitive activities under a command. I mean, you know, a flag officer, a major general, has a lot of authority.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, this is something that, I mean, this I just couldn't. All wheels ground to a halt when you said that. I mean, I just said,
huh?
All I would say is, you know, while I say that idiot on the morning show, say why?
Yeah,
I mean, can you believe that?
Yeah, it's one of those Archie Bunker, what? Yeah, what, Edith?
I mean, you know, to me, I thought to myself, good Lord.
But you'll notice they are.
What are we doing?
But you'll notice they are hammering the woman. And yet Ricardo Sanchez, her immediate superior, gets a pass. Donald Rumsfeld gets a pass. Alberto Gonzalez, who wrote the memo that said it's not torture unless it involves organ failure or death,
right,
gets a pass. The dear leader gets a pass.
Oh, yeah.
When all you've got to do is read the documentation, and it goes all the way to the top.
Exactly.
But, you know, again, what I said earlier, personal responsibility is something they only talk about and impose on us. It is not for them.
Well, the reason I mention this is because her superiors, whoever they were, if they had, you know, that thing came into her 201 file.
Had to.
Her military personnel record jacket had to. And yet, they didn't do something about it. I mean, you know, this is where it starts.
Well, I guess they were short of some major generals and couldn't afford the Washington.
You've got plenty of people that are 06 just want bucking through to get that first star, or the ones that have got that first star and want that two star. I mean, I just, I thought to myself, what kind of message are we sending?
Oh, can you,
the rest of the world.
Yeah, can you imagine what would have what would that shoplifting conviction do to an E2?
Well, you know, you could see an E1 or somebody like that who's on food stamps. I mean, if I were jagged, I could certainly understand that more than I could somebody who's getting flag officer's pay.
Yeah, wouldn't you love
to be the age of the person?
Wouldn't you love to know what she pinched?
I don't know. Probably something she's hardly needed, because a lot of people who shoplift just do it. I don't know why they do it, but I mean,
for the thrill.
For, I guess, you know, and of course, probably have one of those magnetic things, and they bust her at the door of the BX, and that was it. But, you know, back in, you know, a while back, that would have been curtains. You would have been asked to resign your commission, and that would have been it for you.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they changed the rules that much. But going back to your thing about this thing about, you know, you've got to be, there's a song in South Pacific, it's called You've Got to Be Carefully Taught.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they're doing to some of these kids, these people like Mr. Dobson and Jerry Falwell and people like that. They want to sponsor schools they're nothing more than, as far as I'm concerned, modern-day SS order castles in which these people were taught all these anti-Semitic things.
It's
a definite correlation, in my opinion.
I can't see a difference between the two, Jim.
I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I have as much use for Jerry Falwell as I do for Heinrich Himmler.
Well, you know, and a lot of their words are pretty much the same. We're out of time, though, Jim. Thanks so much.
Well, whatever it was worth.
It was worth plenty. I always appreciate it. You take care.
Try to get some traffic in there, you know, with that, you know, like the Low Sparks, the High Heel Boys.
Hey, that'd be a good idea.
All right.
Will do. I always appreciate the suggestions for bumper music, and that's a great one. Low Spark and High Heel Boys. Yep. All right, news time. When we come back, more of your calls. If you're on hold, please stick around. 252-6200 is the number outside Beckley, 800-620-WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
A public service message from Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn. If you've got an old cell phone laying around the house, recycle it. It's easy, it's free, best of all, it's good for the environment. Learn more at calltorecycle.com. That's call2recycle.com. Or call toll-free at 877-2-RECYCLE. Please, answer the call to recycle.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. Protect yourself from tetanus in your garden and diphtheria, another possibly fatal infection. Get your vaccination every 10 years. If it's been 10, do it again. To learn more, visit www.nfid.org.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. In the Red Dawn, East Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
Exciting things are happening at the library. Libraries in 16 counties are teaming up to offer more services, books, and information than ever before. And you can be a part of it. Just stop by your local library for a brand new card and ask about the new Mountain Library Network. Many libraries, one card does it all.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Earlier highs in the upper 70s will be eclipsed with a mainly clear 55 by early in the morning. Tuesday afternoon, a 1 in 2 risk of thunderstorms as an upper-level disturbance moves in, along with a cold front. High near 70 before the rain arrives. 56 tomorrow night, and look for a fair Wednesday. Just a few high, thin clouds with highs back near 75.
Looking good with you in our,
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. This is Head On. You know, this is one of those things that makes doing this show so much fun. I confess I don't know something, and boom, there it is in the email, bob@headonradio.com. What did General Karpinski pinch? Karpinski. Ooh, I think we've come up with another one. General Karpinski. She boosted a $20 bottle of perfume at the base exchange. Now, I know prices are lower at the, it used to be the PX, I guess it's the BX now. They're lower there at the base exchange, but still, $20 bottle of perfume? What? Midnight in Minsk? I mean, you. And as Ben noted when he sent it to me, shoplifting. Pitiful. Just pitiful. Out of a general. Shoplifting. Oi. It boggles the imagination. The phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-9967. Coming up a little bit, and I'm going straight to the phones, and I appreciate those who have waited. But just as a sort of a heads up, don't let me forget this. Warren Ellison was kind enough to print out the full text of Chris Warner's letter of resignation as chairman of the West Virginia Republican Party. Go find this thing. We are talking about high comedy. I mean, sit down to read it. For those of you who know the Republicans for what they are, you're going to get more than a giggle. I mean, this is Blazing Saddles funny. So go have a look and don't let me forget to bring it up. Mel has been waiting and we appreciate it. Hey, Mel, you're head on.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
Doing good. You?
Who'd you say wrote that up? Warner.
Yeah.
Oh, I looked at it.
Yeah, he's resigned as chairman of the party.
Well, there is a God.
and he's highly ironic, Mel.
Yeah. I just, hearing Jim there, the last Jim, telling about the girl hitting him with the lunchbox,
mm-hmm.
I reckon there were some advantages to being poor. The same thing happened to me, but she hit me with a brown paper bag.
a little less impact damage.
Yeah. I was going to talk to you real quick and see if you heard on ABC News. I know you probably got to sleep later, but this Reverend Chandler down in North Carolina.
Oh, doesn't he just make you want to rock screaming around the room?
I tell you what, the guy ruined my day. I'm telling you, that's the sickest thing. And what really gets to me, Bob, is just think how many places this is happening and it's not being, you know, brought out and made newsworthy.
Oh, I know. And the thing is, I guess we should be grateful for it because the rubber mask is finally coming off, Mel. It's not like we haven't been talking about this since back when the Republican National Committee was trying to hijack church directories. You remember that?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, and people can think what they want to of me, but American Civil Liberties Union,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to see them pop in this one. You know, these preachers, when they go tell people, old people that went to church here for 44 years, that you need to repent if you're going to vote for President or for Kerry, and if you don't support President Bush, you leave. And they have a meeting and they put the people out of the church. I mean, like I said, if they don't jump on this and set a precedence and show these people once and for all, you know, you can think what you want to. Like the chief of police out in Los Angeles said one time,
mm-hmm.
You can think what you want to, you just can't act on it. And those preachers have the same, you know, they have the same option that you and I do. I can think the way I want to as long as I don't act on it. You know, if I did probably the way I thought, I'd end up in prison for life.
Well, one of the most bothersome aspects of this thing, though, Mel, is, now, am I to assume that they don't have secret ballot in North Carolina? How did this preacher know who these people voted for?
Oh, no. See, Bob, way that works, I've seen that happen right here. The preacher, he takes that out of the bylaws, and he makes you stand up in front of him and hold your hand up if you're against, you know, something. so he can preach a sermon on you, or they can have a church board meeting and do like they've done to these people. These guys are sick. I'm telling you, like old Jethro says, madness. It's madness.
But, Mel, I mean, please, let's not think of these people. I mean, this Chan Chandler down in East Waynesville, North Carolina, for heaven's sakes, let's not think of this man as a Christian, because there is no commonality between a creep like that and Jesus Christ.
Absolutely not. You know what? I'm not losing my communications and my what I think of Jesus Christ. These people don't affect me at all. It affects me with what the Bible tells me to start off with. Don't put my trust in man to start out with. But like you've talked, these preachers are absolutely, you know, they had this family feud on there one night, and they asked them to name the most crooked people. The answers started popping up, like the most popular was a lawyer, and second was a used car salesman, and third was a preacher. So they're doing it to herself. It amazed me that people's finally getting smart, but you know what? Yeah, and I'm not putting them all in this category, but they're putting herself there. You know, I don't know personally very many that can't keep their nose out of telling people how to vote and pulling tricks like this Chandler did. I mean, it's absolutely...
Well, have you heard the latest on this?
No.
I
don't know if I can stomach it. Like I said, it ruined my day. When I seen that, I thought, my Lord.
I watched the video on it, and it's not like it was a bunch of wild-eyed radicals. I mean, these were 50, 60-year-old church members that have been probably been going there since they were children.
Well, they showed an old man and an old woman that wasn't related. They'd been going there 44 years, and they put him out because he told them they either support President Bush or they get out. And the people have been going there 44 years.
But see, here's the beauty of it. This is typical Republican behavior, Mel. You know how they get away with saying, you know, you can catch them just dead to rights, and say, look, you know, you did this, and they just, and because they're Republicans, they get to say, well, we didn't say that.
Yeah, but you know what?
Well, that's what he's done.
Yeah, well, but you know what? This morning on today's show, or not today, Good Morning America, or whatever they call it, ABC, they showed and played a tape that he's making the statement, if you don't support Bush, you can leave this congregation. And he said, and I might get in trouble for saying this. And they recorded him. So they got this guy.
But he's sitting out there as broad as daylight saying, I never said it.
Well, he's saying now that he was misunderstood, you know.
What's to misunderstand?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to personally make a call down there. And I'd love to know the lawyer that's representing. He was on TV with him. And I'd love to see him set a precedent right there. Like I said, I put an article in the paper saying these guys need stopped, and they need stopped in their tracks. And I'm not running any popularity contest. I don't care what people thinks about me. I'd like to see the American Civil Liberties Union get into this, and like I said, and stop it once and for all.
You know what? It'd stop it once and for all, Mel, because we know what, you know, these Republican religion industry people, you know what motivates them, and I know what motivates them. And it's in your wallet, and it's green, and it folds, and it's real crispy.
Mm-hmm. That and what comes along with it, the power and authority over people.
You know, these nine people that he stood up and cast out and demonized and excommunicated, whatever words, what they need to do is say, well, okay, you throw me out. I've got my records here. I know how much I've given over the last however many years. Refund my money. And the minute that they say, refund my money, he will find the foot of the cross and decide that maybe Democrats have a place in his church after all.
Yeah, that probably would work. It's probably in the bylaws once you give it. Our pastor one time changed it. If you specified you wanted to buy a new carpet, once you gave it, they could do whatever they wanted to. So I'm sure that these guys are sent to school now. You know, they're not called by the Lord. They're called by somebody or something.
No, they're called by Falwell.
Yeah, well, you got it.
Richard Land.
They have to take classes, you know. I've seen the books that they read on the law and stuff and how to get around this stuff and how to switch your bylaws and make sure. And like I said, that a while ago. There's no precedent. There's no state law. There's nobody that really polices this thing. But it's a sick. You know, they said more wars was caused over religion than anything, and that's probably. You know, you can see why when people get that narrow mind and that ignorant that they've got to tell you, you believe my way or it's a highway. Right. Yeah, it's real sick.
Yeah, or we'll kill you.
Yeah, that's, well, like I said, that's about what it's got.
Yeah, how do you square that with Yeshua? I don't know, Mel, but I will not refer to these creeps as Christians because I've known real Christians. I know real Christians, and these aren't them.
Like you said there a while ago about Jesus Christ, he was an humble person. He wasn't a power, a hog, and a money hog. And you know what? It's I reckon it's down to the point. If these people are Christians, then I don't want to associate myself with them.
Well, then that's the thing. We cannot concede that ground to them. They are not Christians, Mel. They're religion industrialists, demon worshippers, I don't know. But Christians is the one thing that they are not. We got to take our break, though. Thanks so much for waiting for the break.
I appreciate it.
Take care, Mel. Later. And it is time for our break. So when we come back, more of your calls, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. There is a line open if you want it. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Nearly 70 million Americans, men, women, the old, and the young, share a common enemy, arthritis. Make a difference in the fight against arthritis. Team up with Colony Drug, the Arthritis Foundation, and Southern Communications for Beckley's second arthritis walk, Thursday, May 19th, on the McManus Rail Trail at Eagle Park. Have fun and help fight the nation's leading cause of disability, arthritis. Form a team with your friends and family. For details, call Colony Drug Enrollment Center at 252-5305 and join us May 19th for a walk in the park.
Did you know 80% of child safety seats aren't used properly? Make sure your kids are always sitting safely in your car. Just stop by State Farm's Child Safety Day and get a car seat or booster seat inspection from a certified specialist. Hey, at State Farm, we have kids too. That's why we say, we live where you live. And that's why, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Join us for Child Seat Safety Day at Bill Straub Insurance. Saturday, May 14th, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. with free inspections from the Beckley Fire Department. Join us and protect your child.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. On Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the United Way and the Women's Resource Center will be sponsoring Celebrity Night in Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas counties. Celebrities from the local communities will be waiting tables, and all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center. Make plans to join us for dinner at Applebee's, Black Knight Country Club, Foster's, or Pasquale's in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, visit Dirty Ernie's Rib Pit, Sedona Grill, Three Gables, for the Glenfarris Inn in Fayette County. Enjoy yourself in Nicholas County at Applebee's, Caledonia, or the Food Box. Make a lasting impression on your community by participating in Celebrity Night on Thursday, May 19th. Celebrity Night is underwritten by WOAY-TV in Oak Hill and Footprints in Beckley.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Twenty minutes after 8 o'clock, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Welcome back. I'm excited about Celebrity Waiter Night. I think that's going to be a lot of fun, especially over at Sedona Grill. So the 19th, got nothing else on tap. We will be running a best of that night. That's radio industry insider speak for a rerun. But it'll be a good one. So that much I promise you. For those of you who listen online, I think we're going to rerun Friday night's show since it didn't stream in the first place. And that, so, you know, to some of you, it'll be brand new. So May 19th, Celebrity Waiter Night, and you heard the details. Come on out. To the phones, David is with us. Hey, David, you had on. David.
Hello, Bob.
How you doing?
Celebrity Waiter Night, huh?
Yes, indeed.
May I suggest a pink satin bow tie and the ensemble of your choice?
I'll see if I can dredge one up.
Yeah, I don't want to go too close to that Chippendales routine because that might get us in trouble.
And Laura Bush has already done it, so, yeah.
I know, and did it very well. You know, I'm sorry, Paula Poundstone, her career's in jeopardy with, you know, laughable Laura out there doing her routine.
Yeah, and for free, no less.
Oh, yeah, please. But don't make angry the horse-milking crowd.
No.
Well, you know, you touched on something. You really submitted the idea for me that I might be on to something. You've said, and I agree, that churches aren't the building, it's the people inside. But those people inside, after years and years and years of conscientious sacrifice, obliging dedication, incredible thrift, Lord knows what other virtues, have put a lot of their money. I'll bet many of those people that were sitting in that video segment that I saw, and they all appeared to be 50, 55, 60 years of age.
Yeah, wild-eyed radicals they weren't.
No. These were not mushroom gatherers from someplace just outside of Asheville that, you know, who knows how they live, but somehow they do. No. These were nice folks that have worked jobs, done the right thing, and in complete seriousness, Bob, have put, in all probability, 10% of their income into building that massive brick church
right. Shown
in that video. Now,
yeah, not exactly the little church in the Wildwood for those who haven't seen the video.
No, and if it's anything like most small towns in any state in my part of the world, your part of the world, our part of the world, 40 years ago when those people started going to that church as 20-year-olds, I'm guessing that wasn't necessarily the building.
No.
I'm guessing there's been a lot of blood, sweat, tears, donated labor, donated money, and all the rest of it. Now, have you seen the face of, or the look of, or possibly been able to guess the age of this Chandler person?
No. I remain painfully in the dark about that. Can you enlighten me?
I have not seen him either. I was hoping you knew, but I will go to the one thing that I can stand on and not have anybody contradict me. The idea that you can throw somebody out of a church for how they voted in a legally constituted election in the United States of America is less than a year old.
Yeah.
So, less than a year old process.
No, David, it's a process that begins with the Republican National Committee last year using church directories as campaign tools and saying that we want to run our little sub-headquarters out of your church basement. That's where it starts.
And then those in favor of it applauding it and saying, that's exactly right. Let's have a cult and we'll just push everybody else out that doesn't believe as we do. And Bob, it is the most intensely insulting, degrading, horrifying.
Don't forget sick.
Yeah, thank you. That's a better word because no one has to go to the dictionary to understand sick. That weasel could throw people out of a church that had built it around his sorry butt over the past 40 years. My guess is he wasn't there for all of those 40.
No, I know that much. One of the excommunicate, you know, Baptists, the very idea of Baptists excommunicating people just sort of gets all over me. Yeah, it's kind of like walking.
I've never heard a Baptist that could say that word without making rude comments about all of the hideous nicknames Baptists used to tag onto the, you know, the Catholic Church.
Right. I was raised in that, and the idea that could happen, you know what it feels like when you're just cruising along, hiking in the forest, and all of a sudden you walk through that spider web you didn't see, and you do the spider web dance, and it's just, it's all over you, and you can't get the web, and you just, you know, for the rest of the day you feel like you're covered in spiders. That's the way I feel when I look at this story. See what it does? It's creepy. It's gross. And you're absolutely right. The one excommunicated lady who was interviewed that I read said, we've never had a preacher quite like this, and this church was a happy church till that man got here. Which tells me that he...
I heard her say those words.
And that tells me he's gotten there in the last 2 years. Because...
You know, a Caldwell plant, a Grover Norquist plant...
It doesn't even have...
George Bush plant.
It doesn't even have to be that overt, though, David, because when you think about it, the Southern Baptist Convention is nothing if not a recruiting arm for the Republican Party. You know, I knew that they had cast their lot with the Republicans when it was years ago when my home church dropped $20,000 of member donations to bring Oliver North to the sanctuary and let him stand there in the pulpit and tell the members that God hated Democrats. You know,
Bob, hold on. I want to backtrack, and I want to make sure no wingnut loses this. When you said your home church, you don't mean the Southern Baptist, whatever the umbrella group is that has dozens, hundreds, if not thousands of churches putting big money into it. What you're talking about is a single congregation.
Absolutely. And it was...
Within the books that you were probably baptized under...
Exactly.
...brought a convicted felon, a man that let Ronald Reagan become the greatest criminal president prior to this one, do his evil deed.
Yes, thank you for expanding on it. You're absolutely right. Those were little girls and little boys attending Sunday school with the little blue-haired ladies in the basement bringing their nickels and their dimes and their quarters, and if they were well off, maybe a dollar. And it was the guy working at the plant and the lady working at the sewing factory giving as much as they could possibly give so that some right-wing freak political minister could bring that convicted felon under the roof of a sanctuary dedicated to Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter. Yeah, that.
And they bought it.
Lock, stock, and stinking barrel.
And that's the saddest, ugliest part, how they could be so deceived. And we're going to have to wait months, usually decades, until they wake up. And it will be a terrible, terrible price exacted upon the Republicans when all those people realize how they have been deceived and fooled and cheated and lied to and quote, excommunicated.
Oh, I know. But the thing is, this is, again, you're dealing with a bunch of people that don't necessarily believe there's going to be a future. You know, they asked George Bush, how do you think history's going to gauge you? And he says, I don't know. We'll all be dead then.
Well, he firmly believes that there's this rapture concept, so the environment doesn't matter. There's all these other things. Oh, and as far as the future, it just disgusts me that they've made such a wreck of our governmental process. And now... they want to actually corrupt the thing that they claim to be the most upholding of and protective of. They're on their way to subverting, and I use that word advisedly with thought. They are subverting and corrupting and perverting the church.
Already have. You know, when they can stand and endorse a process that allows nasty little religion industry children to use hateful epithets against mine, they're already dead in my book, David. And I mean, you know, got the maggots crawling out of their skin. I mean, really, really nasty dead.
I know you're right. I wish it went that way, but they brought it on themselves, and they're going to wallow in it, and they're not going to free themselves of it. You know, they're trying to kill the filibuster, and it's been used by both sides. The reason the Republicans want to kill the filibuster is they firmly believe they'll be able to re-elect themselves and those of their ilk such that if they choose to, they'll vote it back in. They want to play with the rules. They want to modify. They want to change. They want to pervert every process they put their hand to so that at that moment they can do whatever they're thinking of, whether it's screwing over the Senate or screwing over 40-year members of a fine little church in North Carolina. That's their job in life.
And that is their legacy, and I hope it follows them down through time, because I believe there will be a history, David. Thanks so much. We've got to roll. We've got to hit the bottom of the hour break. Always good to hear from you, David.
Thanks again, Bob. You did a great job.
Thanks. Take care. And break time, then more of your phone calls to 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Cold could be coming out of the ground at the Mountain Laurel Complex on the Mingo County, Levin County line by the early part of next year. Arch Coal is currently in the process of preparing that site, but they have a problem. Too many job openings and not enough qualified workers, especially electricians. The company hired to do the prep work employs more than 200 people, and they're looking for more able-bodied workers. They have plenty of openings, but John Snyder, VP of Arch Coal, says they're hard jobs to fill because they're so specialized, and that is, they're electricians. With the mine set to open in 8 to 10 months, the contractors need more workers to beat the deadline. There's a water system to create, railroad lines that need laid, and roads that have to be cleared. Once the mine is ready, Arch will hire around 300 miners, but Snyder says first they have to get the prep work done, but they're confident it will be completed by the deadline. Two suspected meth labs have been done away with in Raleigh and Fayette County. Acting on a tip, the Trident Drug Task Force stormed a home in Crab Orchard Friday, where they found the tools and ingredients needed to make methamphetamine. Agents also found another lab in Fayette County. So far, no arrests. Officials with the Drug Task Force say the investigation continues. These are the first labs uncovered this year in Raleigh and Fayette counties. There were 220 meth lab busts in West Virginia last year. In the first 5 months of 2005, there have already been 140 meth lab destructions and arrests. Charles de Jager Airport expected to see passengers increase 25% in the next 4 years. That increase puts Jager on track to be the fourth fastest growing airport in the country. That's according to a report from the National Aviation Consulting and Forecasting Firm. That's the news. Now the forecast for this evening. Mostly sunny and warm. Temperatures now mid-70s. Tonight clear, low 52. Tomorrow, typically summertime, cloudy, with a chance of thunderstorms by afternoon. Tomorrow's high near 75. Also scattered showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night with a low near 54. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack. When you need to know.
Poor George. It's not his fault. He was born with crude oil in his veins, so he just can't help it. When it comes to framing an energy policy for America's future, George W. simply can't move beyond the same old plunder and pollute agenda of the big oil barons. With gasoline prices topping $2.50 a gallon and showing no signs of stopping there, Bush's political handlers decided that their boy needed to look like he has an energy plan to free America from its costly dependency on foreign oil. So now we have the Bush plan. Make America dependent on domestic oil. Damn the cost, says our oil man-in-chief. Full speed ahead on production. He wants oil rigs in the pristine Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, in our coastal waters, and in our national parks. He also wants to turn over some of America's closed military bases to the oil companies and give them tax subsidies to build more refineries, while also making it faster and easier for them to get permits to build the refineries, bypassing any opposition by local folks and clean air advocates. Bush's plan is a wet dream come true for oil executives, but it's the same oily mess for America. It leaves our country hooked on high-priced, polluting petroleum, and at the mercy of monopolistic oil giants with names like ExxonMobil, Chevron, Texaco, Conoco, BP. And when George did include a non-oil proposal in his plan, it was to rev up another dinosaur, the long-dormant nuclear power industry.
Again, his solution is to provide taxpayer subsidies to these corporate giants while also crimping the democratic ability of local folks, environmentalists, and safety experts to stop the construction of such explosive behemoths. His new plan makes no mention of little side problems like where to put the radioactive waste these plants generate. This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush is looking backward when America desperately needs leadership to move us forward to the bright future, conservation, and renewable fuels.
Message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. They are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I'll tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the magnet.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.kla.org.
WWNR Beckley.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Urocneil has been waiting. Let's go straight to the phones. Hey, Urocneil, you're Head On. Thanks for waiting.
Hello.
Appreciate your patience.
Here I am.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to run over here again. As soon as this break is over. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, you're talking about churches. You said it's not the people, it's not the buildings, it's the people.
Yeah.
How about God is not dwelling in temples built by the hands of men?
Yeah.
I don't know what they do with that one. I guess they assume it's referring to the Jewish, to the, Israelite temple, but it isn't.
No, I think that's pretty general, don't you?
Yeah. Anyway, I want to say about being thrown out of the church. If those people had any sense of getting thrown out of church, they'd be dancing and singing and for joy.
Well, yeah.
Because they finally were liberated from the darkness.
But they weren't. I mean, it's kind of like the Protestant Reformation, Urocneil. If you take a good hard look at it, there was no Protestant Reformation.
How about a deformation? You said there was no Reformation. Luther, number one, denied the succession of the Catholic Church and its authority. Well, what did he have to stand on? He even questioned the biblical canons, wanted to take some books out of it, but because of the pressure from tradition, he put them towards the back.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. So much of the man-made foolishness that is part of the received wisdom stayed, and I don't care if you're a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Roman Catholic, Orthodox, pick one. There is still that commonality of Nicene
silliness. It comes from the Nicene Christianity. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking. In other words, when the Protestants left Catholicism, they took their Catholic luggage with them.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I've been saying that. Yeah, I understand. Oh, exactly what I agree with. Exactly.
The Protestant
religion did not change.
No, I mean, and especially, a friend just loaned me a wonderful book by Stephen Greenblatt, called Will in the World, and it's a sort of a reconstruction of a fairly speculative biography of Shakespeare and where some of the stuff in the plays comes from. And, of course, critical to that analysis is going to be the religious upheaval that took place in his youth. And so, you've got Henry VIII coming along and saying he's the supreme head of the church, but that it's going to be the same old, it's going to be the same old good old-fashioned Catholic church. He's just going to be the head of it in England. And they kept all the, the incense and the gym cracks and the beads and the whistles and the bells
and the bogus doctrines.
Bingo.
Here's what I learned. I've been looking into this more and more. Where did this Nicene thing come from? Well, since Christianity was spread throughout the world, the Roman Empire, pretty much, you had two basic centers were Alexandria and Rome, and others, of course, but I think the most important ones. Alexandria and Egypt. So you had these people with this Greek combination of paganism and philosophy, like the Greeks, you know.
Well, of course, the Alexandria by that time had been ruled by the Ptolemies until Rome conquered it once and for all, the Cleopatra, Mark Antony thing. But yeah, it was still a repository of incredible amounts of knowledge. And even, well, we've talked about the Oxyrrhynchus papyri that are being translated even now. The Coptic thinking that happened, you're exactly right. There were two centers. There was Alexandria and there was Rome.
Yeah, but I was saying that Alexandria was not necessarily enlightened in the sense that they had a propensity for pedantic philosophy with a pagan, you know, with a pagan mentality.
Yeah, some of that.
That's where we got the Trinity from.
Some of that is definitely true. But by the other token, it was Coptic Christians who, when they were being suppressed, went and hid the Gnostic Gospels and all the Gnostic teachings, whether it was apocryphal or not. They were their holy books, and that includes the Gospel of Saint Thomas. Which,
well, I'll put it this way: I don't necessarily consider all that to be better. It's different, but not necessarily. I mean, there's a paganistic mentality that permeates Christendom because this is a monotheistic religion which was spread amongst people who had a tendency towards paganism.
Right, and polytheism.
Yeah, polytheism, and they polytheized everything, and then Rome had a propensity for legalism, Roman lawyers, you know, and politicians. So the forces of this philosophy, and I don't mean pure philosophy, I mean a philosophy with a tendency, and the Roman...
Or perhaps the word you're looking for might be sophistry.
Yeah, sophistry, right. You know, they're going to co-substantiation, substance, you know, transubstantiation, no substantiation. You know, this kind of philosophy is not what Jesus was aiming at. So basically, there is a God, basically, who created the universe, and he wants us to be good.
Yeah.
You know, it's the other stuff is gobbledygook. But then he took the legalists of Rome, you know, and so they took it and made a law out of it.
Right, because it's worth remembering, and I heaven knows I love studying classical civilization. In their own religious doings, in their polytheism, the Romans had a very legalistic, contractual-oriented view of their relationship with their pantheon. It was very mechanistic. You know, we do it this day, we do it this way on this day, and this colored bull, and, you know, and therefore we will, I mean, it's like a credit card contract, and we will,
like the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and we will therefore deem that you are satisfied by that, barring your complaint.
And you can't have a Eucharist with a rice wafer because there's a dogma that it has to be wheat.
Right, and
I mean, in other words, I'm saying they took the Alexandrian philosophy, which is polytheistic, legalized it, dogmatized it, and you know all these, I say Christianity. What bothers me about Christianity, it has existed for about a half a century. They built up these churches and they police. If you read the Book of Acts and the Epistles and so on, and Revelation, there was a lot of policing of, you know, not bringing pagan and polytheistic influences. As soon as the police, who were the apostles, as soon as these, you know, spiritual police went away, you know, killed, died, or whatever, here we go again. And then they got rid of the
because there's a value judgment made that it is more important to spread the church as it was then understood. It was more important to spread that all over Europe than it was to stay true to the original intent and message of Yeshua.
Well, that's true what you're saying, but I think initially there was a tendency. Well, Isaiah the prophet, you know, that you'll be a light to the nations.
Yeah,
and you have to struggle with people and their faults. You have to be patient with them. But, you know, all my life people have been telling me, oh, Rachmiel, you have to understand people this. You have to say, no, I don't have to understand people anymore. If they're going to go to hell, they're going to go to hell. You know, for thousands of years, the patriarchs of Israel, the prophets, the apostles, the this and the that, have been trying to teach people things that they keep on either rejecting them, they don't want them, they want to pervert them, you know. It's like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, to a great extent, are it's like a police religion.
Yeah, there's an element of that. I mean,
you know,
there's not in the message of Christ, Yurok Neil. You know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. There's just not a whole lot. It's not confusing. It's not confusing at all if you just read that. But then we have to find out. Can I eat? Can I go to the butcher shop in Athens and get a cut of brisket or whatever? And even though it wasn't sacrificed on the altar of a pagan god, it was meant for it. And can I eat that? And you start rationalizing and sophistry, and the next thing you go, boom, you get what you got.
Well, the initial thing didn't discuss all the details. I guess anytime you have something like the Constitution,
people are
going to start asking questions about
that. That's exactly where I was going to go, because the same impulse to try to interpret the silence of Christ or the ambiguity of Christ, the same impulse to try to interpret that is what we get, the same level of intellectualism or whatever in analysis is the same thing we get being applied to the Constitution. It's no problem for me, Yurok Neil, to look at Article 2, Section 2 of the United States Constitution, and by just simply reading the plain language of it, in the language in which it was originally written, I can see there that there is no mandate whatsoever for what the Republicans are calling an up or down vote on these right-wing freak judges. It doesn't exist.
As far as the Constitution goes, if we're going to be judged as a nation for being loyal to our Constitution, I'm sorry, I have a feeling that we're incurring the wrath of God. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it sounds like a nasty thing to say, but I don't know how we can get away with this. It's just we've become so deviant, you know, from what we're supposed to be. I find it scary. I find it alarming. I find it disturbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
We live in this great country with this great, you know, somebody called a different program and said, oh, could you recommend, I want to learn about, you know, American system and so on. Well, you study the Declaration of Independence, you study the Constitution, you study the Federalist Papers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I said, wait a minute. After many months, I said, wait a minute, that was misleading. Study Machiavelli. Study Franz Kafka. Study Mein Kampf. Study Black Like Me.
Yeah.
And you'll know what America is about. But it's very hard for me to differentiate in my mind. I pray to God that in spite of the fact that they can just about go in any direction, you know, I mean, they have the nerve to insist, you have to say under God and the Pledge of Allegiance, because we've got our rights from God. They're so strong about, you know, and then they go in any direction they want to, this government. And we the people, I mean, we're so voiceless. We're so powerless. We can't stop them.
Oh, you know, it's like the business with Congress and the trips that they take and the junkets and, well, a lobbyist can pay for this, but they can't pay for that, and you can't. I think you have to agree, Yurok Neil, it is ritualized in the extreme, is it not? When it would be ever so much simpler with a congressman to make a simple rule that says, look, if you want to go somewhere, you pay to go there. Nobody else pays for you to go there. If the government wants you as a congressman to go and investigate something, the government pays for it. No lobbyists can pay you for anything. They can't. Lobbyists, corporations, no individuals, blah, nothing. Nada, zip, zilch, niente. How hard is that? But no, we got to have this ritualized system where it's okay if the Congress goes to Kuala Lumpur, but it's not okay if he goes to St. Andrews, Scotland.
I think we got too much casuistry.
Well, yeah.
Too much.
And ritual.
Dogma.
Yeah, I mean, there's political dogma just the same as there's religious dogma, and we are up to our earlobes in political dogma.
Well, I've just about trying to reconcile with the fact that all I can do is as an individual, is accept the fact I live in this great country. We have a token symbol. Everything is token symbol constitution, a token flag. We have token representation, and so on and so forth. Speaking about token, then you go back to it. Speaking of token, really, I had in mind, there's a big fuss about keeping the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, keeping under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. Which the Pledge of Allegiance, by the way, I think they should put the Constitution in there. Well, anyway, want to say about this. Ten Commandments, because I've been reading lately, this time of the year, it's like the third month of the lunar year from the spring. This is when the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And, the time comes around, I read, I go by the seasons, you know. And I know, it does me some good to read, like, what happened this month, you know. It's kind of like a holiday,
Gives you a sense of continuity, a sense of place.
Yeah, it's so simple. It says, you will be a king, I'll be your God, and you will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. America, the flag, the Bible, sex, drugs, the rock and roll, the savage nation, the sex, drugs, the rock and roll, the flag, the Bible, America, the savage nation, sex, drugs, the rock and roll,
Yep.
You know, and someone says, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Yeah, what? I mean, and they consider me to be a freaking heretic.
Yeah, you're the crazy one.
They hate my guts. And, I fast and I pray. I don't even have a television. I call it a toilet vision.
Yeah.
I don't have a television in my house. I study the New Testament in Greek. I don't know what I do. I feed the poor, whatever. I mean, nothing too big, but I do things just what I'm, I'm not perfect. It's just that
you try to live it within the lights that you're granted.
Yeah, and the thing is, I've been paid when I hear that they butcher these Christians in Nigeria, the terrorists, they hack them to pieces with machetes. That hurts me so much.
Yeah,
it's just people say, "How you doing?" I'm happy. I'm doing all right. God, Jesus died for me. To hell with you. What happened to the Christians in Iraq? I don't hear. I heard about them on the news quite some time ago. They were being bombed. They were left the country. Thousands of them have left the country.
Thousands more have probably been slaughtered.
Okay, you hear in the political system, they got the Shiites. They're trying to keep the Sunnis in there. They got the Kurds. How come? I don't hear. I don't know if I'm laughing or crying.
Yeah, I know.
About the Christians, our brothers.
Because they don't count. Yeah. Now, if they were Southern Baptist Christians in Iraq, now you know the response would be significantly different, don't you?
Oh, God. I've heard interviewed some woman there claims they're persecuted. The Christian women are persecuted in the streets. Oh, come on. Everything, the Sunni, the Republican Sunni, upon me, hey, Rush, come over here. Well, let me explain my Sunni view of Iraq.
Oh, I know,
it's not the United States of America, it's the United States Republican, we got the Republican flag.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's all wrong, see, because, the thing is, the Sunni view is part of the big lie. And this nation is becoming big lie oriented. I am scared. Not because they don't have faith in God. I'm concerned.
You have a right to be.
I better be concerned. The big lie, that's what Hitler used. That's why I say,
And Karl Rove has perfected it. I mean, I know it drives some people who listen to this show just absolutely bug spray crazy when we compare the Bush regime to Hitler. I'm sorry. The fact of the matter is, they came up with the idea of the big lie, and when you look back, they were rank amateurs. These guys are pros. Whether it's Karl Rove or Karen Hughes or Andy Card, these guys, I mean, they're on the all-star team. They're number one draft picks for this stuff, Your Honor.
Well, you know what surprises me? I've been studying. Okay, I don't take a lot of sources, but I sure study the ones I have. NBC, National Public Radio, I know those words, National Public makes you think like it comes from some Wizard of Oz in the Dublin government or something. But they don't do as much as iconoclastic reporting as one might think.
No.
They to some extent, I sense that they are pro-establishment.
Well, you've got to understand, Ron Miller, we're running out of time. But one of the things that just happened, and I haven't brought it up on the program, and shame on me for it, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is the overarching umbrella group that's, you know, National Public Radio, PBS on TV, they have been told by the Bush administration that they will get conservative, and they will get conservative in a hurry, or it will be the end of them.
It sounds like a logical explanation.
Yeah, and you're going to see that, and you're going to see it swing more and more and more to the right until NPR and public television will just be another part of the right-wing megaphone. Because you know what? Information is the most, and factual information is the single most dangerous thing to the right-wing agenda.
Just one last word.
Sure.
I hope people wake up. They better start thinking about Christians in Iraq. I'm serious.
Yeah.
We've got to do something about that.
If you've done it under the least of these, you've done it also under me, and that includes dropping J-dams on them. Thank you so much, Iraq Meal. You have a great evening. Take care. And our final hour is coming up. Lines are open if you want them. 252-6200 outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. That's WWNR. That's what this is. This is also Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, Kenny, open up. I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right, that's it. Come on, y'all.
Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing? Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Tony Robbins. Usually I'm on stage in front of thousands of people working to help them change their lives. But today, if you have a friend or a loved one who's battling cancer, I'd like to ask you to take action in their support. How? Go to TalkingWellness.org, a place where you can find inspirational e-cards and free educational materials about cancer and coping with the side effects of treatment. To help empower somebody in your life who's battling cancer, visit TalkingWellness.org.
Sponsored by the Wellness Community with support from Merck.
Hi, I'm Tony Robbins. Listen, I'm not usually at a loss for words, but when you're trying to find the right words of encouragement for a loved one living with cancer, that can leave anyone speechless. Fortunately, through TalkingWellness.org, you can send e-cards that offer messages of hope and empowerment, words that can speak for you when it's hard to find the right thing to say. For inspirational e-cards and information about cancer and coping with the side effects of treatment, visit TalkingWellness.org. That's TalkingWellness.org.
Sponsored by the Wellness Community with support from Merck.
You two are real actors, huh?
And you're going to play our parents for how long?
Just during dinner for the next few years.
There's no substitute for a loving parent.
According to the script, we're supposed to ask you how your day was.
Okay, I guess.
Is that the best you can do?
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. The East Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
Radio for the real majority. Head on.
Welcome back. Okay, we're going to be all over the board for the next couple of minutes. And speaking of boards, the WWNRNewsTalk620.com website, there's a portal there to my website, headonradio.com. Go there, sign up for the message boards, jump into the fracas. It's all free. It's doing boatloads of traffic, so you know, get in there and make the, what did dear leader say? Make the pie higher. That's what we want to do. An email, I got this Friday night, after I got back to the manse. And it comes from a friend in the heartland. He says, Bob, I know this is a little late, but I'd like to comment about, we talked about this last week, the veteran medical care situation. One of your callers states that there was a 4% increase in funding, but is that enough of an increase? And that is, and again, that is the debate. Are we doing enough? Is there such a thing as doing enough for people who are coming back from Georgia's dirty little war? He says, I belong to an organized labor organization. Good man. And we maintain funding for our own health and welfare insurance. Every year in the last 3 years, costs have increased by at least 10% across the board. I realize that costs may not increase in the VA at the same rates, but I would guess that it would be close. I would guess that way, too. This doesn't even take into account the large influx of critically wounded and costly returning vets. How can these people be so unfeeling? I bet your caller's a good Christian, too. He says, thanks for your show, Bob. I came across it on Ben Birch's fine repository of truth-telling at whiterosesociety.org. I'm always a day late with your show, but almost never miss it. Thanks again, Mike. Mike, thank you for your email. I do appreciate it. And you've, again, that is the inquiry. It's not, oh, is it 4% or is it 4.5% or 4.5723965%. It's really simple. Is it enough? And when you're having to ask that question, you know that by definition, it isn't enough. And when we get revelations like we had last week that, yeah, the Pentagon has fessed up to losing another $100 million. Don't know how it went. Dog ate it. Sandstorm. Yeah, we had it all in backpacks and small unmarked bills. And there was a sandstorm in Anbar province, and it blew it away. It covered it up. I don't know what happened to it. This is the accountable government that we were promised by the conservatives? Of course, we didn't believe that in the first place. We know you can't trust a Republican around money any more than we'd trust him in an outhouse with a muzzle on. You understand? Now, that sort of that question of enough sort of dovetails into this one, and this is a beauty, too. From yesterday's New York Times, you gotta love the Bush administration. And their sense of irony and timing, it just can't be beat. Headline, under new Medicare prescription drug plan, food stamps may be reduced. Well, we already knew that part of the Bush budget transfers, because food stamps are administered through the United States Department of Agriculture, food stamp monies were transferred into the welfare for major corporate farmers. But anyway, just going to read here, because there's nothing really... Elderly people with low incomes may lose some of their food stamps if they sign up for the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Now, who said this?
That was probably one of them liberal websites Bob's all the time going to. You can't trust nothing they say.
Elderly people with low incomes may lose some of their food stamps if they sign up for the new Medicare prescription drug benefit, the Bush administration said Saturday. Oops. When Medicare begins covering drugs in January, older Americans will spend less of their own money on drugs and will therefore have more to spend on food, reducing their need for food stamps, officials said. The official also noted that sometimes you can get cat food at buy one, get one free prices. The new reading of the Medicare law, set forth in a document sent to congressional offices this week, comes just as federal officials begin a nationwide campaign to persuade low-income people to apply for the drug benefit. Lord, I despise these Republicans. Oh, mercy. Couldn't they fix it so that people wouldn't have to eat less food in order to have their little handout to their little Medicare prescription drug benefit You remember the one I'm talking about, the one where the federal government is forbidden by law from negotiating for lower prices with the drug manufacturers? Yeah, that Medicare prescription drug benefit. The document, addressed to elderly and disabled people who receive food stamps, says, and I quote, "You may qualify for extra help paying for your Medicare prescription drug costs," and then it adds, "if you qualify for extra help, your food stamp benefits may decline."
So we're back in the same damn predicament we were before they crafted this boondoggle. Because that was the problem. America's seniors having to make a choice between, well, do I eat or do I get the drugs that keep me alive so I can eat, so I can take the drugs that keep me alive, so I can... This is like a game of Sorry. Those of you who are of my generation and slightly older, maybe slightly younger, have played the game Sorry, and you hit that stupid little square that says, "Go back! Do it again!" Is that where all these Republican policy wonks get their ideas? By playing Sorry and oh!
Dr. Mark B. McClellan, administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, defended the policy.
Medicare beneficiaries will get comprehensive help with their drug costs and will have significantly more resources for all their other basic necessities, including food.
The savings on prescription drugs will more than offset any loss of food stamps, so low-income seniors will be better off.
I despise these people.
Whether it's that filthy Ronald Reagan who's turning on a spit and being basted by little demons in hell even as we speak, making fun of welfare. Well, the welfare mothers out there driving brand new Cadillacs. And now the Bush administration is afraid that old people who receive food stamps are suddenly going to start eating all of their Lark's Vomit canapes.
Nothing, whatever will we do if they have that extra food stamp money and begin to purchase up all of our hummingbird tongues? The price will go through the roof.
Damn.
Loathe? Detest? Despise? Why couldn't they just leave their food stamp benefits alone? It's not tied into the Medicare bill. They couldn't leave their food stamp benefits alone because they despise people who, well, you know, mother, they're not like us. That beautiful little clip of George Bush standing in front of his multi-millionaire donor saying,
"Some people say this is the group of the haves and the have-mores. I call you my base."
Evil, pig-eared, little jug-eyed lout. Pig-eyed, jug-eared lout. Oh, whatever suits your fancy. You can be pig-eared. Pig-eyed, pig-eared, jug-eared.
You understand what they do. Every day and every night, this god-awful Republican administration sits around trying to think of ways
to put the wood to the poor people. And the good, godly, upstanding, moral values voters are sitting out there nodding their heads saying, "Well, you know, Bob, money just doesn't grow on trees. I mean, we're giving them this prescription drug benefit." Oh, yes, you're giving it to them. You're giving it to them because it's a program for the poor. Therefore, it's going to be a poor program, isn't it? We're giving it to them. Oh, yeah, you're giving it to them. It's not like they earned it. It's not like they're good Americans.
No, they're just poor people.
The poor people.
Poor.
Oh, God. The drug benefit will be available to individuals with monthly income of $1,197 or less and married couples with income of $1,604 or less.
Wee-wee! Living high on the hog.
Mr. and Mrs. Elderly American at $1,600 a month. The guide gives, listen, I'm just reading. I hear it's hot. The guide gives this example of how the new law would affect a hypothetical, or in the case of the elderly poor, hyperpathetical Medicare beneficiary. Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith gets $798 a month in Social Security. Don't spend it all in one place there, Granny. She does not receive Medicaid. She now pays $147 a month for medical expenses, including $51 for three prescription drugs. Really? You can buy three prescription drugs for $51? Not name brand, you can't. Her monthly rent is $421. Under the Medicare drug plan, Mrs. Smith will not have to pay a monthly premium or a deductible. She will have a $3 copayment on each drug. Well, I guess she's lucky. I mean, she's only got a $3 copay. Our veterans copay is going up to $15. So she's laying out $9 a month. Her medical spending will decline to $105 a month from $147 for a savings of $42. But Mrs. Smith's monthly food stamp allotment, Jesus, $27. Let that sink in for a minute. Mrs. Smith's monthly food stamp allotment is $27 on $798 a month in Social Security. Her rent's $421. I know you hate it when I do math on the air. I'm not going to do it. Wouldn't be wise. Wouldn't be prudent. Mrs. Smith's monthly food stamp allotment of $27 will be reduced to $10 a month because her, quote, out-of-pocket medical costs have gone down. The administration says she will come out ahead because she still has $25 more cash in her pocket. $42 medical savings, less the $17 decrease in food stamps. What happens to Mrs. Smith's $42 extra the next time gas prices go up, if she's still driving around? And many, many of our older citizens do. God bless him, my dad hops in the vehicle and at the tender age of 80 and drives 600 miles sometimes. And he means to. How many different ways is this wrong? A woman who gets $798 a month from Social Security only qualifies for $27 in food stamps? Been to the grocery store lately? That's not even enough money for one can of candle soup a day for the whole month. And these punk Republicans have the unmitigated gall and the brass-bound nerve to call themselves compassionate? Meanwhile, Meals on Wheels takes a hit. Remember, in this situation, she's not even drawing Medicaid. My God in heaven. It takes my breath away. This is... Quick, Jesse, is this a story about something in America? $27 in food stamps for a woman who draws $798 a month in Social Security, spends $421 of it on her rent. How about her utilities? Put on another coat in the winter, Granny. What in heaven's name is wrong with this country? Did you know that a woman who makes $798 a month in Social Security gets only $27 in food stamps? Did you know that? Holy Moses! Can I just take a powder on This Is a Christian Nation? $27 in food stamps. Not even enough to pay for one can of soup a day. One meal a day. And we dare call ourselves Christian? Or righteous? Oh no, this is another one of those stories that takes me back to the let's have done with all the God bless America
bug spray and get busy on God Forgive America. What would she have? Oh, mercy, if she had $1,000 in income. She would have no food stamps. Quick, I've got to do it. I'm sorry. I apologize. 798 minus 421, that's 77. That's $377, which she is going to pay her utilities, her phone. You reckon Granny, are grannies entitled to, I mean, do they have any right to, say, cable? Or do they just need to sit there in darkness and wait to die? $377 to cover utilities, phone, cable. Yeah. Oh, Jesse, you're coming along, son. No, let me see. Let me out of this group. No boat, no light, no motor car. Not a single luxury. Mac Robinson Caruso, it's primitive as can be. Dirt-eaten, filthy Republicans. Of course, I'm sure there's somebody out there. Well, Bob, I could live like the king of Persia on $377 a month. My God in heaven. So $377 a month pays for Granny Smith's utilities and phone and cable and whoa, food. Now we talked about the veterans. We allot via our contracts that weren't voted on or awarded by competitive bidding or any of that other stupidity. We award Halliburton and its subsidiary, Kellogg Burn and Loot, $29 a day. Let's round it to 30. I'm sorry. I know. I'm being unfair. Yeah. That $900 a month we pay Kellogg Burn and Loot to feed each member of our military in Iraq. Now, I don't want to pit one group against another, but I damn sure want a value judgment made on this one. Granny worked her whole life. In good times and bad, Granny kept food on the table. Granny fed her little ones when they were young. Granny bought new groceries, or Granny bought groceries and went without a new dress or a new pair of shoes. Granny worked all her life so that maybe she could have $798 a month in Social Security benefits in her old age. And there's some filthy, bean-counting dirtbag in Republican in Washington who says she's going to have more cash in her pocket. Screw him. Leave your food stamps alone, doggone it. It's not going to break you, you good-for-nothing Republicans. You can give a tax break to the wealthiest 1% of America, and you can't leave Granny's food stamps alone? Rotten, filthy, money-grubbing, hateful monsters! What the hell is wrong with the Republican Party? And on top of it all, to talk about we're going to let Granny have an extra net $25 more cash in her pocket on Mother's Day. This came out on Mother's Day. How could you not loathe, detest, and despise these Republican dirtbags? How could you not?
Well, Bob, you got to understand that if we don't cut down on those abusive grannies, the deficit will only go higher.
Truly, the Republican Party is capable of swallowing mountains and gagging on gnats. What else would you call this scenario?
Well, we can't find that $100 million, though. I guess we're up to a full $10 billion we've lost in Iraq.
You tell that granny woman over there that if she so much as thinks about spending $27 a month on her food stamp card, we're going to be after her, and we got lawyers to do it with. Because we're the Republican Party, and we're compassionate. Lord God. That's your grandmother. My grandmother. Well, mine are gone, thank you. Thank God you wouldn't want them to be around for this one. Hey, 65-year-olds, it's you! Did you vote for George Bush? It's you. They don't think you're worth the Republican Party. That you're worth a can of Campbell's soup a day. You got $900 a month for Kellogg burning loot. Remember the study? Remember the citations from the Pentagon to serve rotten meat to our soldiers? $900 a month per soldier. Do the math. How many are over there? But we begrudge $17 to an old lady. Oh, it's one of those moments where you just really want there to be a living, burning hell populated by the nastiest little demons imaginable, so that they can play with the likes of these filthy Republican bean counters when they get there. Because anybody that would take $17 out of an old lady's $27 food stamp allotment, I'm guessing he gets that person from George Bush on down gets the get thee behind me, ye sinful and iniquitous and whatever your anagram thing. Get hell, there it is. Get in it. Right. Right, this is Head On, I'm Bob.
It's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really? Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welsh, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now. From Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
Where there's a tornado or there's a forest fire, Mother Nature is at the worst.
Where there's a search and there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need, we are there.
When disaster strikes,
or one volunteer for
helping each other, we simply do what needs to be done.
You are the Civil Air Patrol,
the official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. On Thursday, May 19th, from 6 to 9 p.m., the United Way and the Women's Resource Center will be sponsoring Celebrity Night in Raleigh, Fayette, and Nicholas counties. Celebrities from the local communities will be waiting tables, and all tips and donations go to the United Way and the Women's Resource Center. Make plans to join us for dinner at Applebee's, Black Knight Country Club, Foster's, or Pasquale's in Raleigh County. In Fayette County, visit Dirty Ernie's Rib Pit, Sedona Grill, Three Gables, or the Glenfrost Inn in Fayette County. Enjoy yourself in Nicholas County at Applebee's, Caledonia, or the Steve Box. Make a lasting impression on your community by participating in Celebrity Night on Thursday, May 19th. Celebrity Night is underwritten by WOAY-TV in Oak Hill and Quick Pete in Beckley.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. The State Attorney General's Office is trying to enforce subpoenas issued to Capital One Bank in Virginia that markets and issues credit cards to West Virginia consumers. More than 200 complaints have been filed against Capital One Bank and Capital One Services. The Attorney General's Office is now filing suit in Lincoln County, attempting to enforce the subpoenas for information. Some consumers say they received pre-approved credits from Capital One offering credit limits of up to $5,000, but those cards came with limits of $200 or $300. Other consumers say the low-limit cards have high fees, including a $59 annual membership fee, a $29 late fee, and a $29 over-the-limit fee. Customers who then tried to cancel the cards were told they couldn't do it with an outstanding balance. Late fees, over-limit fees, and interest continue to accumulate for customers who tried to close their accounts but could not. The West Virginia Tourism Commission will be holding a special meeting Thursday at the Canyon Rim Visitor Center, Lansing. The theme will be the future of the tourism industry in southern West Virginia and how it can continue to be a prime place for adventure destination vacations. Eric Poyes with the West Virginia Professional River Outfitters says the industry needs to evolve continually to remain as important as it has been for the last 30 years. Family court judges in Boone, Jackson, and Lincoln counties force people to wait months for hearings that other judges get done in weeks. That's according to a survey by the state Supreme Court. The judges in those counties said people must wait up to 7 months for a hearing. That's about twice as long as the statewide average. Judges in those counties blame the delays on huge caseloads, and people who ask the court to tinker with child support or alimony payments just a few times a year. For the rest of this evening, partly cloudy and warm. Temperatures now around 70. Tonight, clear with a low 52. Showers and thunderstorms, very typically summertime tomorrow, high 75. Those showers and thunderstorms in by the afternoon. And then showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night with a low near 54. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Welcome to Green and Growing, the Lawn and Garden Show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, I thought I'd get a jump on my garden this year, so I've got my garden tools.
Wait, don't jump on your garden. Stopping isn't good for vegetables.
I meant that I'm ready to get a jump on digging.
Oh, in that case, why not skip digging altogether and use a tiller instead? With a walk-behind tiller, adjust the depth bar to just break the surface crust on the first go-round. Then set it for deeper tilling and move in an S pattern to keep the tiller from leaning to one side.
Well, how will I know when my bed is ready?
It should feel like chocolate cake. Crumbly. John Deere recommends mixing the soil to the maximum depth of the tiller without pulverizing the soil.
So this year I can skip digging and get a jump on my planting by using a tiller. Thanks for making my project a piece of cake. Tune in again to Bill Clutho to learn how to keep your garden green and growing.
Many people believe our healthcare system and economy could be strained to the breaking point as the average American lifespan continues to increase. But speaking at a recent workshop sponsored by the National Institute on Aging, Dr. Robert Butler, President and CEO of the International Longevity Center, says,
as societies gain health and longevity, they actually generate more wealth. And if you think about it a minute, a term I've been talking about these days, shortevity, the opposite of longevity. If you look at the former Soviet Union, they've actually lost life expectancy. If you look in some 10 or more African countries, they do have shortevity with an average life expectancy of less than 40. So as nations are able to generate greater longevity and greater health, they actually generate more wealth. So instead of our being so alarmed about Social Security costs and Medicare costs, we should harness this energy and make sure that older people are facilitated such that they can work longer and continue to contribute to society.
This is Calvin Jackson, the National Institutes of Health with Ed Maryland.
For decades, he spoke of peace and waited for his chance to try to achieve it. His story, next on Biography Radio.
America is a country of entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little at Sam's Club. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Join the club. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
He never carried a gun and never fought in a battle. Yet he worked for years at the heart of a militant Palestinian group. He was a quiet man, an intellectual, and few knew him till events thrust him into the headlines. He was a native of the British Mandate of Palestine, which was partitioned by the United Nations in 1948. The part which became Israel became his enemy, and the enemy of all Palestinians who felt robbed of their homeland. From the beginning, he was close to the Palestinian Liberation Organization's then-chairman Yasser Arafat. They traveled together in exile from the 1960s to the 80s. During that time, the former schoolteacher made secret contact with pacifist Jewish groups. He hoped to bring peace to the Middle East. Slowly, he became a favorite of the Americans as they, too, tried to mediate in the Middle East. When Arafat, by then head of the new Palestinian legislature, came under pressure to appoint a prime minister, the soft-spoken pragmatist was the obvious choice. In 2004, Arafat died, sparked fresh hope for peace. The key was to reopen talks between Israel and the Palestinians, a daunting task that fell to Arafat's successor, the Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
We're back. And this is head on as we move toward the end of tonight's Monday night program. An email from with regard to issues of things like utility bills and poor people and people on limited income. We get this email from our friend David. I know for a fact that no church will help out with utility bills. So I guess Granny Smith's going to be on her own. But then again, you know, she's living large. She's got that extra $17, from, oh, my God, $377 she's got for utilities, phone, cable, and food. And the copays, that's $9. And somehow $27 is too much to give her for food? This would be a really screwed up country we're talking about here. 20 years ago, if we were having this conversation, yeah, Bob, I tell you what, the way they treat their old people in the Soviet Union is a damn crime. It's us, the good guys. Gotta love it. To the phones. Ed has been waiting. Hey, Ed, you're head on. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Doing okay.
So I heard part of your earlier program and really appreciated some of the remarks. But maybe some of these land real estate dealers that's in Raleigh County over there will chip in and help them people, you know. I mean, I heard one of them call in today on Dr. Bill and talking about the right to work, and he said he didn't want to hear none of the union garbage. He wanted to understand he don't understand anything, because that is part of the union that is against this right to work. And anybody that go in and buy a piece of land, a working man or a union man, and buy a piece of land from that idiot.
Easy, Ed. Let's not get too personal, okay?
Huh?
Let's not get too personal.
All right. I haven't called any names yet. But anyway, I think that is personal. You know, the way they,
I know, but we have to be above the fray, right?
Well.
Let's be better.
Well, it's hard to do.
I know.
But anyway, I had some comments on that.
Go right ahead.
And I still wouldn't buy no property for
sure.
It. But anyway, they keep hollering on one hand on one of the programs. They keep hollering, well, it's why are the Democrats against people being rich? But they turn around, one of them did, and said, Ray Hall owns property here and he owns property there. They got a double standard that they apply.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're a Democrat, there's something for you, but then it's Katie bar the door with the bit and the horse with the bit in its teeth if you're a Republican.
Yeah, and the main thing is, why are they so jealous of people? You know, on one hand, they say that we're against people making money and it should be divided up. But on the other hand, it's all right for Republicans to make all the money that they want to, but when somebody like Ray Hall, and there's one guy, one of them, is always running his mouth on him. And, you know, it's still, they say that's part of the game, but they don't even know the name of the game, let alone how it's played.
Well, the question I want an answer to, Ed, and why does a Republican administration feel the need to take $17 away from the food stamp budget of a woman making $798 a month?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just sick.
Yeah. Well, you know, my daughter, and I'm ashamed of her for doing it, voting for Bush, but the first thing he done is the little granddaughter needed a special medicine for allergies,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the first things that went. And you know who picked up on part of that, because he only makes 30-some thousand a year, and so it's not only them that suffer by it, but I think they've learned that Republicans have nothing for the working class of people.
Well, but the thing is, they feel like they can do anything to anybody as long as they're not rich and get away with it.
Yeah, and they're doing it. What the thing of it is, they're doing it.
Because they got these right-wing religion industry churches in their pocket, and they'll stand there in the pulpit and say, Jesus doesn't want you to have $27 a month in food stamps. That's not Christian.
Yeah. Well, I'm so disgusted that of them stinking preachers. And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I know you said don't get personal, but if Falwell hadn't made it out of the hospital, it would suit me pretty good.
Well, that's okay. You're more than welcome to nail him to the wall.
And that one out. And did you hear about the one in North Carolina
what
he did? But did you also hear that he took his lawyers to church with him yesterday?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah,
no.
Those seven people took the lawyers back to church with them.
Well, good.
And I don't understand why they went back. But I guess maybe they can prove the point. I don't know. But it's pitiful when this country gets to where even the freedom to worship and vote and freedom of expression is taken away from you.
Well, you know, you're free to worship as long as you worship the way that George Bush wants you to.
Listen to that preacher, and you know, when you do a number on them, we really enjoy that. That's when you give them that. But there is one Baptist people that is across the river here, that their church, you know, I've been to it a couple of times, and they are really into the right thing. You don't hear no politics.
Well, good. That's the Baptist church. I don't mean that one, but that's the kind of Baptist church I was raised in.
Yeah. Well, when they get off of what a preacher ought to be doing, and that's handing you Jesus Christ on every... Let me tell you, it's just this simple. If you see a black and white dog, you're going to call it black and white. Another one's going to call it white and black.
Sure.
And any time you give people a choice of other than what the main purpose is, you're going to cause division. And it's ultimately going to cause just what happened in Carolina. If he'd have been doing his job and what he's getting paid wrongfully for in my book, then that wouldn't have never come up. That's where... And how do they keep on being tax exempt, Bob? Tell me the key.
Because the law, I mean, we've got an administration in here that believes that the law should not apply to these people. It's that pure and simple. This is, you know, you can bend the law, break the law, stomp on the law, burn the law, if it's somebody that agrees with the Bush position.
It's about like a labor board in. Every head guy that gets in has a different interpretation of it, depending on whether they're Republican or Democrat.
No, so that's true, too. Ed, we got to roll along. Thanks so much for your call, though. I appreciate it.
Okay, Bob.
Take it easy now. And Wayne. Hey, Wayne, your head on. Wayne.
Hey, Bob.
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good, good. Well, listen, we had, I was with the nurses, I was outside Appalachian, you know which one.
Yeah.
ARH.
Sure.
And, I want to thank all the people that stopped by and stuff. We never had a whole bunch of people on Saturday. I think at one time we had 10, but different people stopped by. So one guy brought a bunch of apple pies, and a doctor stopped and bought everybody lunch.
Well, good. That's really good.
Yeah, a doctor. Yeah, I admire that. I want to thank everybody for participating.
Absolutely.
And,
And we'll see what happens here.
The story's gone national.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has.
They were carrying it on winds this evening.
Yeah, they were. Yes, they were. So I'm going to go to one of those undisclosed locations for a few days.
Let me know if you run across Dick Cheney.
You never know. You know, you have to swear this thing and all that. It's really complicated.
Super secret.
But so,
well, you
have I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'd really like to see this thing resolved. What they have is a bunch of lawyers that are telling them they could win this thing, and all the lawyers really want is their money because they don't have a case. I mean, they don't have a case. I have copies of the letter of reprimand that, you know, in the letter it says, for your active participation in the picketing which occurred at Beckley ARH Hospital on April 27th. That's an out-and-out lie right there.
Well, there's a couple of them there.
Yeah, well, there's bunches of them. And, I can't understand these people's refusal to...
deal with reality?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really not all that much to ask, is it?
Well, no, but if it's working people, it's you know, like trying to move a mountain, I guess.
I guess, but you know, you've got to keep trying to move that.
Hey, I hope where you're going, maybe they'll have some internet access for you, so maybe you can catch the show while in the evenings.
I'm definitely going to try that.
Yeah, definitely do.
Definitely going to try that. I still got the number. I could call in no matter what you're talking about.
That's true, too.
And so.
Exactly.
But it was a good thing. Like I say, I want to thank all the people. And I'm particularly alarmed at the newspaper's lack of interest in the First Amendment.
Or fear.
Or fear.
Or gutlessness.
I don't know. Gutlessness, I like that one. It's,
The First Amendment's only important if it's important to them.
Exactly.
Right.
It's important to me.
Absolutely. It's my favorite. I like them all.
Me too.
I like them all.
It gives you credence to a lot of the other ones.
Yeah, it makes a lot of the other ones possible. Hey, Wayne, thanks so much, man.
All right,
I appreciate it. Travel safely.
Yes, sir.
All right. And Trish. Hey, Trish, you head on. Yo, Trish.
Yeah.
There you are.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I got just a little bit of allergy, so.
Oh, isn't it awful? I mean, I go out every morning, and my car has been painted sort of yellowish green with the pollen.
Yeah, we only got a lot of that white laying around, so.
Yeah, that too.
I want to thank the those that were standing for our nurses. I think that you know, all of my family was union on both sides. You know, I've got family that was teachers that are union and miners and railroad people, you know. So I come from a union family, so I do want to thank them for standing up for the nurses.
Well, and
I did blow my horn on the way down to the doctor's office. I just really let on that horn all the way there and all the way back.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We sure do.
I didn't get a chance to stop because of to say about my parents, but anyway, I did let them know that I was standing up for them.
Well, and you know what? That's important. It's the most important thing we can do right now.
And you tell them I'm just real sorry that I couldn't stop, but that I just really laid on the horn. There wasn't very many there when I went to the doctor's office at 9 o'clock. I think there were two on one side and two on another, but they weighed back, and I just really blew on the horn. So
not a girl. That's what we need. You know, because it's a manifestation. It's an expression of support.
Right.
And you know, people were in and people were out. A few here, a few there. But you know, the point is being made, and that's important. I don't know if you caught it earlier this evening, but as I noted earlier, Workers Independent News has now picked it up, so the story's gone national.
Oh, has it? No, I was out fishing.
Oh, well, that's good.
I went out fishing with my dad. He's trying to teach me how to fish.
Oh, did you do any good?
I caught my first little largemouth bass.
Oh, goodness.
And that just thrilled me to death.
Oh, yeah.
I like the fish.
Oh, it's one of the most relaxing things in the world.
It is. It really is.
Well, Trish, I tell you what, we do appreciate your efforts, and they're glad to know that you're thinking of them. And, you know, hopefully this thing will resolve itself.
You know, I told you before I was kind of conservative,
mm-hmm.
that I'm an American first.
Absolutely.
I don't care what your party affiliation is. I know there's a lot of Republicans now that are going independent.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like that the party's left them.
Well,
there's some Democrats that's going to go independent, too.
That may happen.
They say, you know, they would like to have a third party because, you know, we have one party that tells us one thing to get in there, and they just do it, you know. It's just, it looks like the same side of the coin all the time.
Well, you know, there's a school of thought, Trish, that says we don't have time to build a third party.
Uh-huh.
And as a consequence of that, we're going to have to fix one of the other two.
Well, we got to do something. It just can't keep going on like it is.
Well, we know that there's no fixing the Republican Party. I'm not trying to be mean.
Oh, I know. I'm not a Republican.
I know. But there's no fixing them because they're all bought and sold and paid for by the big money interests. With any luck at all, though, maybe we can fix the Democratic Party.
I know that there are six Republicans, only six, that have really been trying to stand up for what's right, but... You know, I guess they're kind of on the blackball list. You know, I hear Rush and all of them say, oh, they ought to just become Democrats, you know. But I think they're really concerned about our borders and so forth, you know. I don't know how you feel about the borders, but I'm concerned about the borders.
Well, I'm concerned, you know, we think about our borders, and you say that, and most people just think of the Mexican border.
But there's a lot of people come through that border besides Mexicans.
Well, not just that, but if you think about the other parts of America, when you think about all the stuff that comes in from China headed for Walmarts,
uh-huh.
in those container ships, one bomb. One uh-huh. bomb. And that's a border too, isn't it?
Right. You know, I can remember years ago, and I'm much older than you are, I'm sure, I can remember when Sam Walton first opened up a Walmart. He said that he would only put American-made products in his store made by American citizens. But it seems like that his greedy sons have, you know, they don't really want to give health care and,
nope.
and so on and so forth. I'd like to see us put them union.
Uh-oh. Wouldn't we all... And it would be a better place to shop if we could. And you know, do you know, Trish, how much each one of those Walton heirs is worth?
Billions.
Yeah, like $24 billion apiece, and there's what, five, six of them?
Yeah, and they are absolutely destroying the mom and pop shops. I mean, there's a race based shops going out of business. We got. Everybody's going out of business. They can't compete. They can't buy the products.
No, and of course, you know, Walmart wants those small local businesses to die.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they've killed off, this is the way they operate, once they've killed off all the business, then they can raise their prices.
Well, you know, I had a young gentleman at another grocery store, and I won't say which one, that told me that he knew an employee that worked at Walmart and says, oh, don't ask for any sort of health care. That go and put your children on the state.
Yeah, let the citizens of West Virginia
pay for it. If, don't take out any medical insurance. You know, don't get onto the medical plan.
Well, they pay their.
Yes, they can build another $1 billion.
Sure.
Walmart down in here and down in Fayette County and everywhere
right.
else, but they can't pay the citizens a decent wage. You know, we were always brought up. You get paid for a decent wage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And companies usually always try to give you some sort of a health care, you know.
Right.
They don't really want to do that. I have a couple of things I think that is really important. And I think that as I've listened to Democrats and Republicans both, you know that most of the people in my area hasn't voted forever. This year was the first time I've ever voted in 45 years, and I don't know, you know, I guess I split my ticket a lot. I'm one of those I'm one of those that I like to know who I'm voting for and something about them. Just because they're a Republican, I don't want to put them in, and just because they're a Democrat, and that doesn't get it either. It all depends on their character.
I understand that. But you got to remember, you talk about organized labor being important to you, Trish. The one thing you can know as sure as your own salvation is that you're not going to find a pro-labor Republican. They don't exist.
No. I know our president hates labor.
Absolutely. Trish, I've got to go. We're at the end.
Okay.
Always good to hear from you. Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Just doing some quick calculations. If you make $8 an hour working at Walmart and you work 40 hours a week and you work 52 weeks a year, you make $16,640 before taxes. You take the taxes out, and let's say you've got a family of four, the spouses and two kids. That is, of course, way under the poverty line. What kind of country is this where you can work full-time and still be in poverty? That's something that needs to be fixed. The show tonight, of course, was produced by the intrepid Jesse Fulmer and engineered by Randy Kerboy, announced at least in part by Brian Reznor, and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our very good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. We appreciate their support. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at White Road.